Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon if you live on the East Coast, or the Eastern Time Zone, I should say. Not everybody who lives in the Eastern Time Zone lives on the coast. But I'm parsing. Ed Battagliano is typing in something on his computer over here. Ed, what are you typing in? Austin Bruins draft?
No, that was last weekend.
Oh, okay.
No, we got a story coming up. I'm okay. Looking for some poll numbers.
Dan Celia will be with us in a few minutes. A majority of Americans approve of the way President Trump is handling the economy. And we're going to ask, this from a CNBC report, we're going to ask Dan Celia about that. Walker Wildman is with me, with us here as well. And I'm Tim Wildman. You can send us an email if you'd like to at comments@afr.net. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Chris Woodward has stepped into the studio. By the way, Fred Jackson, we saw Fred yesterday.
Saw him again this morning.
He's walking around and getting better, and Fred should be back with us in, what, a week or two, a couple weeks?
He did not give me a time frame, but I'm sure, knowing Fred, he wanted to be back yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming in. He's going to start coming in maybe next week, a couple hours a day.
Of course, Fred's our news director and has been for 20 years, I guess, or so, here at American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. And Fred had the heart attack a couple weeks back, but he's going to be back in the saddle soon, so we're praying for Fred's speedy recovery and soon return here to American Family Radio to today's issues on AFR. All right, Chris, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
What do you got? Let's go.
Well, talking about President Trump, one of the things he's in the news for today involves his tariffs. You know, the president has announced tariffs on European goods because he says European nations are taking advantage of the U.S. and its workers. Harley-Davidson is one of the U.S. companies concerned about European tariffs in retaliation to what Trump's doing. So Harley-Davidson, out of Wisconsin, has announced they're going to shift some of their production overseas to Europe to build motorcycles for Europe in Europe to avoid Trump's tariffs. The president says Harley has raised the white flag. They should sit and wait and see for his business policies to work. The question now is, are other companies that are going to be negatively impacted, quote unquote, by European tariffs, are they going to follow suit and do what Harley has done now that Harley has taken the first bold
step? Well, from what I understand, Harley announced it was going to be building a plant in Thailand back in May 2017. That was before all this over the tariffs, you know, became big news. So, and that's one of the things Trump is calling them out about, that, you know, that they are blaming this on the tariffs. In reality, they have overseas manufacturing plants. I'm looking at a CNBC article about this in Brazil, India, Australia, and Thailand already. So this is an example of an American. You can't get any more American than Harley going overseas to get cheap labor. So this is one of those groups, one of those companies. You know, more and more as these companies become multinational, they have no loyalty to America. And so this is part of what Trump was talking about. Well, fine, you're going to go overseas because you want to use cheap labor, and then you're going to ship those motorcycles back here and keep the profits. Well, guess what? We're sticking a big fat tariff on you, and you're not going to gain by taking jobs away from American citizens.
Yeah, and a lot of Republicans and conservatives don't like the tariffs idea that President Trump's been putting forth and actually doing. But I'm not one of those, because here's the thing. It is not as if we had an even playing field and then President Trump came to the game and started rigging it. This system's been rigged for decades. President Trump is simply responding way too late. The U.S. is responding way too late to this tariff. The war's been going on.
Hey, China. President Trump told the G7, he said, fine, let's have no tariffs.
Yeah, but they won't do that.
And they won't take them up on that because they're making money.
Exactly.
He said, let's have
a tariff-free zone if you want. You upset about me saying tariffs? Fine. Right. No tariffs at all. And they said, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So he called their hand on that.
Yeah.
So President Trump's playing hardball, but there are real-life effects right. such as Harley-Davidson wanting to move overseas, and then some consumers might be affected here or there. I don't know how you gauge the entire effects. It's so big. Right. There's so many much money involved. But this needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I think in the long term, it'll make these countries know to take us more serious.
Yeah. And to give you guys an idea, it's not just motorcycles. The European Union has slapped tariffs on orange juice, cigarettes, motorboats, denim.
Denim, that's kind of random, isn't it?
And one other product I'm failing. But Heritage Foundation, which is opposed to tariffs, and the reason why is they say tariffs are taxes. But the Heritage Foundation told me last week, ahead of the European Union tariffs, that basically it was no coincidence that they were going after those specific products because Harley-Davidson, based in Wisconsin, where Paul Ryan is from, House Speaker Paul Ryan, bourbon comes from Kentucky, Senator Mitch McConnell. Trump has a home in Florida where a lot of our OJ comes from, cigarettes, tobacco, all that stuff. From I think that's kind of self-explanatory. Talking about making money.
No, Chris, not much of that was self-explanatory right there.
Well, there are other people. There are other people in positions of power in Congress that are from states where tobacco or denim and things like that come from.
Where does denim come from, Chris?
Denim actually comes from it comes from a number of places. It's cotton based, but you've got a lot of places in the South. It comes from a variety of sources.
And Levi Strauss is made in San Francisco.
It is. I actually contacted them for comment last week. Have not heard back. So Levi's, if you're listening,
Where's Lee?
Levi's is a very liberal company. Seriously,
it is.
They have been since the '90s, and they're not gonna help a conservative news agency with their store with our stories.
All right.
I mean, keep trying.
Oh, sure.
Keep trying.
Can't say I didn't ask.
What else you got, Steve?
All right.
Excuse me, Chris.
No, I know. I got you.
Bring it, Chris.
The end is finally here for Toys R Us stores. If your town still has one of these, the toy retailer will close its remaining 200 stores on Friday. I've got some sound from an old 1980s ad.
I don't want to grow up on a Toys R Us kid. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with.
It appears now Jeffrey the giraffe has grown up.
Oh.
Now he's having to close down.
Why is that? You would think there would be enough people to support. That's the only national toy store I'm familiar with.
It is.
I think it would be able to make it. Why can't they make it?
Well, Amazon has been blamed. Amazon's blamed for a lot of things. But Walmart, other big box retailers, as they're called, are also saying they've taken a lot of the competition. Longtime employees have been staging protests because they say they weren't paid severance for losing their jobs. More protests are scheduled this week as stores.
You're protesting a store that's going out of business?
Yes.
Good luck with that one.
Huh? Yeah, listen, we have a Toys R Us in Tupelo where our flagship station is located, and I went by there. My wife and I, it was on Saturday or something, and she wanted to go to, a clothing store and then to Hobby Lobby. And so I said, well, I'll meet you in Hobby Lobby in X number of minutes. So I walked down to – I always hit Office Max first because I just can't pass a stationery store. Got to go in. And then I went to the Toys R Us because they had at that time it was 10 days till we were officially closed, 50% off on everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll see if I can find anything for Christmas. And the shelves were almost completely bare.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there were a few items here and there.
Yeah. There is some good news to report. As far as these soon-to-be empty buildings, Party City has announced it plans to use 50 of the locations for its seasonal pop-up stores and expand from its traditional Halloween City stores to offer Toy City stores that will stay open through the holiday season this year, but it's only temporary. Party City does not anticipate using any of them permanently. I did check with the business writer of the local paper here in Tupelo. No idea yet as to what they're going to do to fill the property here in Tupelo.
I would say Walmart probably began their problems because even though Toys R Us has a huge selection, you couldn't compete with the prices at Walmart for the smaller selection, and then Amazon probably just finished them off.
Right.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah. There have been reports. I had somebody ask me offsite one time whether or not I had heard that Amazon was going to buy the vacant Toys R Us stores to put Amazon grocery stores in. I have no idea where they got that from, but it is out there in the internet.
The one thing keeping Walmart alive, or at least, from what I can see, is that Walmart has a lot of good infrastructure. So Walmart already has all these buildings that they can use as distribution centers for their online sales, and they're catching up. They're not as big as Amazon, don't get me wrong. They got a long ways to go. But they're doing 2-day free shipping on everything. You know,
Amazon's like Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah. Now Amazon changed up their 2-day shipping policy, and they may say they didn't, but they did, because I used to go from ordering something on Monday and it would be here Wednesday guaranteed. Now you order something on Monday, it's be here Friday guaranteed. So I don't know what they did there, but that whole 2-day thing, they shifted the policy around. But Walmart is trying to compete with Amazon, and I think they're doing a pretty good job.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, joining us now is Dan Celia. Dan is host of Financial Issues here on AFR. 8 to 10 Central Time each weekday morning on AFR. And wanted to have Dan on, talk to him about a couple of things. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Tim. Good morning, guys. Glad you're back in the saddle, Tim.
Thank you, Dan. Or good afternoon where you are in the...
Yeah. Yep, it just is.
Philadelphia, PA. How's the weather in Philadelphia?
It's good. It's great. It's nice and cool and sunny and...
I don't want to hear about that.
I know. Tim, you wouldn't know about this, but it's great golf weather you used to be a golfer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get back there.
Yeah, this is great golf weather. Yeah,
I'm probably going to have a better swing when I get back, too.
Yvonne asked me how to pray for you, and I said, we better pray for his golf game.
And that was before the accident.
That was before the accident, yeah. Then when the accident came, we decided to pray for his health.
Oh, man. With friends like these. Dan, a couple things. One is I was reading last night, and it was a report on CNBC. And the headline is this: Majority of Americans approve of Trump's handling of the economy for the first time. And it says Trump's economic approval rating surged 6 points to 51%, according to the CNBC All-America Economic Survey. So President Trump's economic policies overall, I guess we could argue about the tariffs and such, but overall the American people like what he's doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, they do, and that was to be expected. But, you know, unfortunately, that can go very quickly.
Okay.
And, you know, regardless of what is happening, I don't mean the economy necessarily as much as I mean the approval rating.
Okay.
And so I think he's still walking. He's got to walk very carefully. And I think, you know, this whole immigration thing has impacted. I saw he lost a point from Gallup yesterday when the poll came out. And, you know, it's probably a lot to do with what's going on down there on the southern border.
So well, the media beating him up every day, all day.
It doesn't help. I mean, it's just brutal. And nobody is talking about the accomplishments in the economy. So when I saw that poll about last night, I was pretty amazed, because I don't know where the people, you know, they're polling these people, and they're not hearing about it on CNN about the economy. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're feeling it. And it ought to give that poll a little bit more credibility, because these people are feeling what is going on in the economy, and that's powerful. It's not propaganda. It's not the news. It's not what they're hearing, how great they was, like we were hearing about the Obama economy, how great it was. It's they're not hearing it on the news unless they're all watching Fox.
Yeah. Well, I'm quoting from a CNBC.com story, and it says 54% of Americans say the economy is good or excellent, the highest recorded by CNBC in 10 years of the survey. Now, keep in mind, this is a survey of the general American public. This is not a survey of Republicans or a survey of Democrats. This is just the general American public, a CNBC survey. And it's the highest recorded approval rating in 10 years. 54% say the economy is in good or excellent shape. So, the economy is often like, it's like quarterbacks in football, you know. They get too much blame and they get too much credit.
Right.
Oftentimes presidents do. But I think President Trump is probably benefiting from the good economy, and he could show, could he not, Dan, that he's done some things that have led to this.
Well, I think it's I think he could show just about 90% of it is his doing. So yeah, and it's going to people are going to vote their pocketbook. That's not going to change.
Yeah,
and so for those voters that are independents, this is huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Hey Dan, one other thing before we let you go here, and you talk about this on your program often, but there are people listening to us right now who are and you know you advise people on where to invest, and you always say that they need to consider folks need to consider a charitable gift annuity for at least a small portion of their portfolio as they look forward to retirement. And of course we here at American Family Association, we depend on charitable gifts to support our ministry. So a lot of people who are listening to us right now might want to look into making a charitable gift annuity to benefit American Family Association, American Family Radio, while also providing long-term monthly income to them. So did I do a good
You did a great job. Thanks for having me on, guys. I sure appreciate it.
No. Well, no, hey, listen. I've been listening to you so long talk about it. But you know what? You're always fair about it and always honest about it. You don't want to do all your money in charitable gift annuities, like you don't want to do all your money in stocks.
I just want it to be a piece of their diversification,
right.
And I, you know, Tim, and I you know, I love what AFA stands for and what they do, and I'm so thankful to be associated with it. But before AFA, I was still talking about charitable gift annuities,
right,
and how important it was, because I believe permanent income, creating a little permanent income, is kind of should be a responsible part of everybody's retirement. And if you can do it and do the Lord's work, the great work that's going on here at American Family Association, I mean, it's just a win-win. And it's something that everybody ought to consider for a small portion of their portfolio. And the thing that I always ask is people to call the foundation, talk to Chelsea, talk to Riley, find out if it's a good fit for them, but get information about it so that they can adequately and specifically pray through whether this is something that they ought to be doing.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, take care, my friend. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks, guys. I sure appreciate it.
Okay, that's Dan Celia joining us from Philadelphia, PA, a great place to visit. You talk about history come to life. Go to visit Philadelphia.
Got some pretty good food there, too.
Absolutely. Okay, let me just tell you, folks, what Dan was talking about right there, because there may be somebody listening out there, and they're going, you know, I would like to know more about the American Family Association Foundation, this charitable gift annuity that would provide me with income, you know, for the rest of your life, while at the same time in the future benefiting AFA and AFR. We would really appreciate it. If you're in that position and you're looking forward to retirement someday and you'd like to know more about this and you believe in what we're doing, all I'm asking is that you look into this charitable gift annuity idea or leaving some portion of your will to benefit our ministry. That is something you might consider as well. Here's the phone number, 662-844-5036, extension 345. That's 662-844-5036, extension 345. That rings the American Family Association Foundation, and they can answer your questions about the charitable gift annuity, okay? You can look into that. No commitment, obviously, and absolutely no pressure. If you hear what they have to say and you don't want to do it, nobody's going to call you back or give your number to the NSA or anything like that. The other thing is, if you just want to go on the internet and read about what we've been discussing here, the charitable gift annuity and how you might benefit from that for American Family Association, American Family Radio, go to afafoundation.net. AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net. A lot of people have taken advantage of this over the years and use the charitable gift annuity as part of their retirement portfolio. And it also is going to bless us here at AFA and AFR in the future as we try to make plans financially for the long-term health of this ministry, which we're charged with. So take advantage of that, afafoundation.net, and check that out. You are listening to today's issue, or if you win the lottery. If you win the lottery and you want to give it, you know, half of it to us here, or would that be the devil's money, Ed?
You're the one that said it. I don't know why
you're just asking you,
hooking me into this. Well, listen, if
we don't have to talk about that. Yeah. I was joking. So Wes knows us to talk about a joke right there. We can discuss that later.
I'm relieved, actually.
We could throw that on Dan. Dan? No, we'll do what Brother Bert does. We'll throw
ask Alex.
Throw the hard questions at Alex. What do you got over here, Chris? What do you got left?
Well, 4th of July is coming up.
Saturday in the park.
Certainly, expressions of American patriotism come in many forms, from setting off fireworks during 4th of July, buying American-made goods, paying taxes, serving in the armed forces, volunteering, all that good stuff. If I was to ask you, what are some of the most patriotic states in America? Which states come to mind?
Patriotics?
As defined, how do you define patriotic?
Serving
states?
In the military, adults voting in the election, volunteering, things like that.
This sounds like one of those that
I'm gonna say Kentucky.
Okay.
I'll say Texas.
Walker?
I'm gonna throw everybody for a twist and go with California.
All right. Wallet Hub.
Oh, that's not a twist, Walker. That's retarded.
Is that Northern California, Southern California, or California?
It's where the Navy installation is.
Okay.
There's a marine base and everything.
Well, you got a point there. They do have the big in San Diego, but
they do. I always wanted to go there. I want to be a weatherman in San Diego.
What do you got, Chris? What's the answer? You're keeping us in suspense.
Wallet Hub, one of the upcoming websites that does all kinds of rankings on things,
Are they the ones that you click?
No.
You have to click through every page to find out the one thing you want to know, and I quit.
Oh, no. Those are infuriating.
I quit doing those things.
Yeah, they're infuriating.
They don't trap me anymore and that stuff. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Wallet Hub has a ranking of the most patriotic states in America. Number one, Virginia. Alaska is number two. Wyoming, South Carolina, and Idaho round out the top five. Our home state here in Mississippi is number 20 on the list. Looking
where's
at the
California?
Bottom.
Where's California?
California is near the bottom amongst many other blue states. California is 44. Connecticut, New York, Illinois, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and Massachusetts.
No surprise there.
Round out the bottom 10.
Massachusetts is bottom.
Massachusetts is dead last.
In terms of what, again, what are the criteria?
They look at it at 13 key indicators, ranging from a share of enlisted military population to share of adults who voted in the 2016 presidential election to AmeriCorps volunteers per capita.
Well, now listen, if the people will stop voting in those states, the liberals, I'm all for that. So the 5% of people in Massachusetts who
are conservative can run
the state.
Yeah.
How many on the bottom 10 are blue states?
With the exception of I'm not sure of Rhode Island's current political makeup, but all of the bottom 10 are liberal.
Taxachusetts.
Yeah, Taxachusetts. That's what we used to call it, Taxachusetts.
All righty. Thank you, Chris Woodward.
You.
Walker, appreciate your contribution today.
Yes, sir.
And Ed, yours too.
Thank you. I enjoyed the parts of the program that were all about me. There are very few of them, but still.
Right. All right. Thank you, folks, for listening to today's issues here on American Family Radio. Stay tuned for Dr. Alistair Begg and his Bible teaching program, and then Janet Mefford, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.